In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special word of welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're happy that you're here. And if this is your first time at St. Benedict's, we hope you feel at home among us. We're so happy to have you. I don't know how many of you know my story, but my parents left Cuba when the communist dictatorship took over. And I was conceived in Madrid, in Spain, born in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and raised in Miami. But I'm Cuban. Does it make any sense? I've never been to Cuba, but my parents came from there, and that's the culture that I was raised with. But one of the interesting things that happens to someone like me is that from a very early age, you kind of automatically become bilingual. And so Spanish was my first language at home. But shortly after the age of 6, when I was here in Miami, I became bilingual. And remember, when I came to Miami, there were hardly any Hispanics there. I was one of 2 Hispanics in my neighborhood. Imagine that. The world has changed, huh? But you know, this week, I realized how I translate everything all the time. I translate it in my head, I translate it when I read. And so a friend of mine who is a CEO of a very, very successful furniture company sent me an email, and under his fancy signature, he's a CEO and all that, it says, "The mission of this company is to wow our clients." And then underneath, there was a Spanish translation, which I thought was really funny, because some things don't translate very well. It said, "La misión, the mission of this company is to wowear our customers." I'm like, okay, that doesn't exist in Spanish. That's really made up. To wow our customers and to wowear, very different. And you know, it's funny. As I saw that, I thought, isn't that interesting that in our lives, especially when we're trying to make sense of things, some things just don't translate. Was Jesus trying to wow his disciples when he took them to the top of that mountain? What was he really trying to do? By revealing his glory, by taking them to the top of this mountain and having them hear the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son." His clothes were transformed in dazzling white. His appearance changed. They saw the glory of heaven. What was Jesus trying to do with his disciples? And if you look at the Bible, all over the Bible, there are these mountaintop experiences. Have you noticed that? Just today in Scripture, in the Old Testament lesson, in the Epistle, and in the Gospel, it talks about going up the mountain. And if any of you have ever had that experience of going to the Rocky Mountains or going to the beautiful deserts, you know, where Sedona and all those beautiful mountains, you're up there and you look down and everything just looks so different, doesn't it? It's like a change of perspective. I don't know how many of you have ever made a spiritual retreat. I know the people that go to Cursillo, for example, or any other kind of spiritual retreat or experience. Boy, you come out feeling high, don't you? You feel like you're at the top of the mountain. And then all of a sudden you realize you've got to come back down. For us here in Florida, it's kind of funny to talk about mountains. There's no mountains anywhere. They say the people in Florida had so much faith, they moved all the mountains. I don't know if that's true. But the highest point for us is somewhere on the bridge of I-95, you know? But even when you're up there driving, and you look out at the downtown, or you look out west, you see, wow, right? You see a lot more when you're on the top. And so Jesus takes his disciples to the top of a mountain, so they can see something very clearly. And what was it that our Lord wanted them to see? He wanted them to see the promised kingdom. The promise of the resurrection. The promise of eternal glory. The fact that their lives would be transformed forever. Sometimes it's easy for us to have that spiritual high. Oh, we feel really, really good up here. Maybe you've had moments in your life when, you know, you kind of pray more, you feel closer to God, something happens inside where you feel a sense of peace, and there's something special about that. And you kind of say, well, I'm going to stay up here because that feels good. And today we live in a world where feeling good is very important. But the fact is, faith is more than a feeling. Faith is more than a moment when you are well. Faith is even more than those very intense spiritual experiences. Faith has to do with coming off the mountain and living the day to day following Jesus. The struggle of living day to day, seeking to follow Jesus. Jesus wowed his disciples, but he didn't want them to stay with the wow. He wanted them to take it to heart in order to go back and fulfill their mission. Now you got to understand, Jesus could have taken all 12 of the apostles up that mountain, but he chose 3 of them. We don't know why he chose those 3. But the fact is, he knew that they would be persecuted. He knew that they would be martyred and suffer death because they were his followers. He knew that they were going to have a rough life, that it was not going to be easy. And so he chose to show them that it was not just about this life, that they were to keep their eyes on the glory that is to be revealed, the glory that is to come. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, you know, it is not the present moment, the present suffering, but the joy that is to be revealed. We are called to live with that joy and with that hope and with that promise in our hearts. Because you know what? Times will get rough. If you're trying to be a disciple of Jesus, things will be difficult. You will be tested and you'll suffer pain. Sometimes physical, spiritual, emotional pain. It's part of our human existence. Yet if we keep our eyes on the glory that has been prepared for us, if we keep our eyes on the promise, all those passing things of this world fall to a second place. And see, ultimately, if we're trying to be disciples of Jesus in this world, ultimately, if we're trying to really live out our faith, we are going to be tested and we're going to have difficult moments. Believe me, if you're trying to follow Jesus, get ready to carry your cross. Jesus says it. If you want to be my follower, take up your cross each day and follow me. That is not just symbolic, pretty language. It's real. If you want to be my follower, you must take up your cross each day and follow me. Now, we don't live for the cross. We live for the glory of the resurrection. We must keep our eyes fixed on that mountaintop experience, even when we are not at the mountaintop. We must come down and deal with reality day to day as it is. But we must never lose our sights on what we have been created for. So the meaning of this experience, this transfiguration experience, is for the disciples of Jesus to keep that hope alive. Jesus obviously wants to show them something that is very important. He wants them to have a foretaste of that glory of heaven. He wants them to keep that in their heart and in their minds as they go through all the sufferings of this world. You know, for 21st century Christians, for those of us that are still trying to follow Jesus and who take this seriously, there's a very strong message here. The message is that we should not give our hearts to passing things. That we should not put so much emphasis on all these things that we put so much emphasis on. If you think about it, we get stressed out about so much, which ultimately has such little importance. I'm going to say it again. We get stressed out about so much which ultimately has such little importance. You know, we live in a time where, you know, people are very divided. You're either on the left or you're on the right. You either watch CNN or Fox. You're a Democrat or you're a Republican. You're pro-immigration or anti-immigration. You are divided into all kinds of different categories. And people will try to categorize you all the time. Even if you don't fit their categories, they'll still try. What does that say to us who are trying to follow Jesus? It says that ultimately we are preoccupied. We are worried. We're giving a lot of energy to a bunch of things that we cannot change. And the things that we can change and make better, we may not be focused enough to do what needs doing. We're distracted by it all. As disciples of Jesus, we need to have a discerning mind and a discerning heart to know what God is calling us to. And in this passing world, we got to make sure we don't fall into the pit or the trap of the present moment with its present preoccupations and its present distractions. We need to put our eyes on the kingdom of God. Focus on the promise that God has made to us. To know that God has prepared something wonderful for us. And to know that that same vision those three disciples saw when Jesus took them to the top of the mountain, that same vision is the life that God desires for you. God desires you to be transformed in that way. The resurrection is not just an event of 2,000 years ago that happened to Jesus once, but Jesus, through the gift of our baptism, through the grace of God, wishes all of us to be transformed in that way. That's the promise. That's the gift. And faith keeps our minds and our hearts focused on that glory which is to be revealed, that glory which is to come. We got to remember, a lot of those things that we're paying so much attention to right now are really not that important. They're part of this passing world. Guess what? It will all pass. Most of the things that worry you right now, most of the things that preoccupy you right now, most of the things that are taking up your time, most of the stuff you're reading on the internet, most of the stuff that grabs your attention day to day, most of it will pass. And God only knows what the solutions or the results may be. God has a way of transforming things and changing things that we cannot figure out. But if we keep the promise of the kingdom in our minds and hearts, if we keep that glory to be revealed present through the gift of faith, then all of the passing things of the present moment take a second place. Perhaps the biggest challenge we have today as people trying to live according to what God is asking of us, perhaps the greatest challenge we have is to try to turn down the noise, turn down the distortion, we used to call it. When I was a DJ, I remember we used to try to get the amplifiers with the lowest level of distortion. Because even a little, a few points of distortion make a big difference when you're blasting your music, you know? I have a neighbor who loves to blast his music. Now, he understands his neighbor is, you know, a priest, so I guess he figures he could blast his music all the time. What he doesn't know is that his neighbor, who is a priest, used to be a DJ. And I like to blast my music too. So every once in a while, I say to Ruhama, you know, I say, he thinks his music is loud. He doesn't know how loud I can make it. The reason I say that is because distortion is real. It's not just an ugly noise that bothers our ears. Distortion is when we allow the noise of the present moment, whatever it may be, to distract us from listening to God's voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him, the gospel says. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. How can we listen to Jesus? How can we listen to the voice of the Lord in prayer, in our hearts, if we allow all of this distortion of the present moment to distract us from being in tune with God? From being in tune with God. Now, I know a lot of the young people in the crowd, they can't relate to this, but there was a time when you wanted to hear your radio, you had to like turn the knob to tune it in, right? Tune it. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah, now you just press a little button that says scan, it goes to the next station. Boom, 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 boom. It jumps automatically for you. Well, we didn't have that privilege. You know, you used to have to like, you know, tune the thing, right? Spiritually, what is happening to us is sometimes the noise and the distortion is not allowing us to really tune in to God. To really listen to God. And I would say that the adjustments we need to make in our lives is to make sure that we do not allow any ideology, whether it's political or whatever other agenda, that we do not allow anything, whether it's liberal or conservative, whatever it is, to become more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, that word we heard today, this is my beloved son, listen to him. It tells me that as a follower of Jesus, the one ideology I must be committed to listening to and taking to heart is the one found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we tune in to that, and we listen to that, and take it to heart, it makes all the difference in our lives, and it makes all the difference in our world. Because if more of us Christians were really tuned in to Jesus, we wouldn't have all this fussing and all this fighting that we see out there. Our problem is, we're not tuned in to the Lord. We're not listening to the Lord. And our ultimate sin as a society in our world today, our sin is the fact that we allow ourselves the privilege, to be distracted, to not be focused on what really matters. And so we have this hatred and this bigotry and this racism and all this stuff that we see happening in our society, in our world. The reason it's happening is because we're not listening to him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. When we listen to Jesus, all those other ideas, all those other convictions, all those other values that sometimes we've created or the society has created for us, all those things take a second spot, because our desire is to listen to the Lord and follow his way. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.